Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Yeah, I'm in a little different locale today. I'm actually finding myself recording these things on a regular basis in about four or five different spots, but that's good. But the sound may be a little different here and there, so don't let that distract you, okay? We're continuing through the book of Hebrews, and we've just completed the ninth chapter. I want to go back and catch the last six verses of the ninth chapter. And so always remember this, that there's no chapter division, no verse division in the original manuscripts if we had them. These are just letters that were written. They just flowed. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, remember this, it says, "Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." So the copy of the things in heaven, the things on earth, were cleansed by blood. But the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these. What's the better sacrifice? Well, Jesus is the better sacrifice. Remember that with Hebrews. Jesus is better. He's better than everything, and He is the better of everything. Now, verse 24. "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Verse 25. "Nor was it that He would offer Himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own." Verse 26. "Otherwise, He would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Verse 27. "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment," 28, "so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await Him." So He came the first time in reference to sin, the whole idea of being to forgive sin, to be the ultimate sacrifice and atonement for sin, to put away sin, as it says in verse 26. He's been made manifest to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And in the same way that it's appointed for men once to die, then judgment, Jesus was appointed and He died, but now He will come back without reference to sin. He will come back as the what? The victorious ruler, the one who reigns forever and ever, awaited eagerly for those who believe. Now, we continue chapter 10, verse 1. "For," F-O-R, so that's like therefore, that's like continuity between what was just read, continues on, "for the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near." That's the biggie right there, okay, folks? This is what He's been leading up to and reminding them. Now, remember, these believers were predominantly Jewish. They understood the law. They know what they had been raised in for generations, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, okay? And so He's reminding them, don't be distracted. Don't go back into that. Realize what has happened to you. And so He's telling them, you know, the law was fine, but remember this, the law was only a shadow of the good things to come. And it wasn't the very form of things. It was just a shadow and a foreshadowing. And this law can never, by the sacrifice which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. These sacrifices they offered personally, the sacrifices that were made on behalf of the nation of Israel in their feast and things like that, they did not make them perfect. It says it can't. It can never make perfect those who draw near. It was just a covering of the sin, and you offered year by year by year. Verse 2, "Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sin." So He's saying this, the law did not provide and bring forth a provision that would make perfect the one who wanted to draw near, who did draw near. It did not cleanse and purge and purify your consciousness of sin. It did not do that. He said, if it had done that, then they would have been cleansed, their conscious, and they would not have had to offer more sacrifice because it would have all been taken care of. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. There was a reminder, yeah, by the sacrificial system, what they did. Verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. And so the author is just cutting to the chase here. He said the blood of bulls and goats would not take away sin. They would atone for sin. It would cover the sin. The Lord would see that. But it didn't take away the sin. Now, that's interesting because of how we think of ourselves. So often we think of ourselves, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And we actually define ourselves as sinner. And we should not do that, folks. If you're a true believer, don't define yourself as a sinner. Now, do you sin from time to time? Yes, we do. Why? Because we choose to. That's all it is. It's not because we have to. It's not because it is who we are. No, we are new creatures and new creation. The blood of bulls and goats didn't do this take away sin, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, let me read these next few verses rather hurriedly, okay? Because they're basically a couple of sentences, a couple of ideas here that are all quotes from the Old Testament, verses 5 through 9, really. It says this, therefore, in other words, in light of all this, when he comes in the world, that he's the Lord Jesus, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. And so the Lord is quoting the Psalms. He's quoting the Old Testament here. He continues, verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And after saying the above, he says this, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I've come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. So the Old Testament here is quoted in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did when he came into the world. Okay? And why he did it? He did it because the sacrifices and offering God did not desire, but he prepared a body for me. And he's talking about literally the physical body that the Lord Jesus had, and that the Lord wasn't pleased with the whole burnt offerings for sin. And you say, well, God's the one that came up with the idea, right? Yes, he did. But because of how they were perverting it and how they were so flippant about it, it became abhorrent to him. And so Jesus is saying, you don't desire that, okay? You haven't taken pleasure in that. This doesn't take away the sin of the world. But guess what? I have come to do your will. He said that in verse 7, to do the will of God. He said it in verse 9, I have come to do your will. What was his will? The will of the Father? To take away the first in order to establish the second. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to do away with the law, the first covenant, but to fulfill it in order to establish the second, the new covenant. We'll look at this in the next episode. Again, I'm Dale. I'll talk to you then.